News Radio 960 WERC. I'm Dominic Brasher. Our phone number is 439-WERC. Along with News Director Jim and Kenny, the producer, we're talking about the Supreme Court ruling on child rape. Supreme Court saying that killing child rapists is cruel and unusual punishment. We just talked to Attorney Richard Keith from the Alabama Criminal Defense Lawyers Fund. But one of the things that's got everybody all riled up is this guy in Massachusetts, this politician and defense attorney, Representative James Fagan, who says that he would rip apart children victims of rape. And it's just amazing that he would say such a thing. Here is exactly what he said.
When we face it in this situation, why is it so wrong? Let me tell you why it's so wrong. It's so wrong because in these situations, until and unless the lady in Shrewsbury and people of her ilk have the opportunity to do away with the right of confrontation, which I'm sure they'd like to, that six-year-old's going to sit in front of me or somebody far worse than me. And I'm going to rip them apart. I'm going to make sure that the rest of their life is ruined. That when they're 8 years old, they throw up. When they're 12 years old, they won't sleep. When they're 19 years old, they'll have nightmares. And they'll never have a relationship with anybody. And that's not because I'm a nice guy. That's because when you're in court and you're defending somebody's liberty and you're facing a mandatory sentence of those draconian proportions, you have to do every single thing you can do on behalf of your client. That is your oath and obligation as a trial lawyer, to confront the witnesses against your client, which in this instance will always be a child, who will undoubtedly be permanently, dreadfully scarred.
So is he saying, Jim, that if there wasn't the death penalty involved, he would be nicer to the kid?
In his own bizarre way, I suppose that was the point he was trying to make.
Yeah. And it was kind
extremely
of...
extremely troubling the way he did it.
Very honest, though. Very honest. You got to give him that. He's telling what he would do.
Well, maybe disbarment proceedings can now begin.
Wow.
It seems like he may have crossed a line here as it relates to the, I mean, even lawyers have ethics.
Yeah, yeah.
And a code of conduct.
He said he was going to destroy a client. My special guest joining us now, he's been on Oprah and on Montel Williams. His name is Jody. He is a survivor of sexual assault. Jody, welcome to the Dominic Brasher Show. How you doing, Jody?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good, good. What are you, let's start with the ruling first. Or do you want to start with what this defense attorney said? I mean, I guess you were in this situation. You were a victim of sexual assault. Did you have to go to court?
No, I didn't have to go to court. My father shot and killed the guy who molested me. And then when it was his turn to go to court, they had a plea bargain and he pled no contest to manslaughter and received probation.
He received probation. Wow. Wow. How old were you? What happened? Can I ask, or is it?
No, that's no problem. I was 10 years old. I was taking karate, and
my
karate teacher did what typical child molesters do. He gained the trust of the family and seduced the family over time and eventually started molesting me, and this went on for about a year, and it led to him kidnapping me, taking me to Anaheim, California, where he was arrested a couple weeks later. They took me to the hospital. They did a rape kit exam. And about 2 weeks later, after I was returned, the rape kid came back with positive proof, and then they informed my parents, and a week later, my dad shot him when they brought him back from California to Baton Rouge in the airport, and it was caught on video.
Yeah, it's a classic case. I actually remember seeing the videotape of the guy walking, and he was a karate instructor, and your dad just turned around and killed him. And a lot of people say, two wrongs don't make a right, but... there was the fear, too, that you might have lost your dad. Your dad, you know, here you were a victim of assault, rape, and then your dad might go to jail forever.
Right, and luckily that didn't happen. I know there was another case in 1993 with Ellie Nessler where she actually did go to prison, And then, you know, when you look back at that case, her son eventually murdered somebody, and now he's serving time in jail. So things didn't work out too good in that situation.
Now, in cases like yours, there's a kidnapping. The guy's kidnapped you. There's a definite assault going on. It's obvious. In some other cases, sometimes it's not so cut and dry. So when you hear that defense attorney speaking that we just played, how does that make you feel?
Honestly, I agree with what he said, just not the way he said it.
Mm-hmm.
He basically was saying is that defense attorneys are going to do whatever it takes to get their clients off. And when you think of high-profile rape cases, and I've had victims come up to me and talk to me about this, you know, on many occasions, the only defense a lot of times these people have is to attack the credibility of the accuser or the alleged victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it didn't stop Pamela Mackey. I mean, she went after the female in the Kobe Bryant case pretty hard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think what he was saying is that the defense attorneys will get the children on the stand and do what it takes to get their client off, and that will have a more negative effect itself than, say, if they plea out and he goes to jail for 25 years.
So, I wonder what's best for the child. Can you, Jody, can you come back and have a normal life after something so outrageous happens to you?
I think so. I mean, I definitely think so, because I try to think that I'm living a fairly normal life. I think most of the people who know me who don't know about that part of my life are surprised to find out something like that happened to me, because they're like, oh, you just seem so normal. So I think a child can, under the right circumstances with the proper support and counseling, be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that the court yesterday made the right choice, because I'm in no way support child molesters, and I think they're, you know, the scum of the earth, and I really don't have a problem with them being, you know, put to death. But I want to think about the child's mental well-being. And I think the most important thing is that the child's empowered, they get proper counseling and support from family members, they're believed, and if they're not faced with the possible offender being put to death, hopefully that will lead to them telling.
Mm.
Because the reason why people say, Jody, why didn't you tell? You've been molested for a year and you never told anybody. And I'll tell you why I didn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I knew my dad would kill him. And that's exactly what he did.
Mm.
So what that did in my situation was it kept me quiet, and it made the abuse go on longer than maybe it should have if I didn't think my father would kill him.
Right. If you knew that your father would put him in jail or there'd be a trial, but, you know, killing him, it scared you. You mind if we take a phone call?
No, go ahead.
Let's go to John. John, you're on 960 WERC. How you doing, John?
Hey, Dominic, I work in law enforcement, and I deal with sex offenders on a regular basis in the branch of law enforcement I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Chemical castration will not solve it. I'm not opposed to it, but a child molester that's going to molest a child will use his hands, anything he can do, foreign objects, it doesn't matter. Has nothing to do with the ability for his manly parts to be able to work.
What do you think about the Supreme Court ruling there, then, John?
Our Attorney General of the state of Alabama, Troy King, who's a good man,
mm-hmm.
was approaching the issue of the death penalty for severe cases, and I'm for it. Fry 'em, shoot 'em, cut 'em, hang 'em, whatever you got to do.
Okay, thanks so much for calling. Jody, you hear that's the listeners. That's what they think. You know, the first thing they do is, you know, like your father, they want to shoot somebody. But you're saying that maybe that's not the best thing. I want to ask you more about that. Can you stay with us one more segment?
Sure.
We're talking to Jody. He's a survivor of sexual assault. Famous story. His dad actually shot and killed the man who kidnapped him and molested him. And we'll talk more to Jody and take your phone calls at 439-9372, 439-WERC. I'm Dominic Barasha. And this is News Radio 960 WERC. We're talking about the Supreme Court's ruling on child rape. And right here in Alabama, the Attorney General wanting to pass a law that the second time someone is convicted two times of child rape, then you can put them to death. Our special guest joining us, you've seen him on Oprah and on Martell Williams. He is a survivor, which is, I guess that's, Jody, that's the best word, right? Survivor.
Some people like to be called survivors. I don't mind. Some people like to be called thrivers. I just like to be called Jody.
Okay. Jody, let me ask you, this is an odd question. What's it like to be kidnapped? I mean, what goes through, 10 years old, this guy was your karate teacher. What do you think? What's going on? What's it like?
I think my situation may have been a little different since I knew the guy for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
But as a 11-year-old, he kidnapped me and he took me by bus from Port Arthur, Texas to Los Angeles, California. And I was thinking, cool, L.A., I got to see the Hollywood sign. I went to Disneyland. So it wasn't like I was gagged and bound and thrown in the back of the truck. So it was somebody that I knew. Now, and I never thought I wasn't going to be rescued. I always thought I'd end up back home. So I don't want to say I looked at it like it was like a vacation, but it was almost like a little mini vacation, except I was with a child molester.
Which is, it's just a bummer. It ruins the whole thing.
Kind of ruined that trip.
So you were under, I just could imagine the kids who thinks, that their parents are dead or their parents didn't want them. You hear those stories and you really feel for my God, the kids thinking that, but you always knew that eventually you'd get back home.
Well, I always felt that I would. I mean, I guess I really didn't know, but I mean,
this guy might have, not for nothing, but this guy might have killed you,
Well, and it was kind of, I think he wanted to get caught because when they arrested him, he had $6 in his pocket. It's all the money that he had. And he made a collect phone call back home to Louisiana where they had the phones tapped. So, I mean, it was pretty much a given that he would get arrested. But there's no telling how desperate he may have gotten and what he may have done in order to get money, because I think when he was younger, he was prostituted out to other men when he was like 9, 10 years old as a kid. So I think that may have crossed his mind to prostitute me out. So who knows what would have happened if we.
Oh, my God. So he prostitute you out. Here I am thinking, I'm to Jody. I'm like an idiot. I'm thinking he's going to prostitute himself out. He might have prostituted you out.
Oh my God. He was talking about me because he mentioned it. He brought it up. How would you feel if I did this? And I was like, absolutely not.
Now, they say one of the things with these pedophiles is it's usually not the first time that these persons have done it before. In your case, did this guy do it to other kids before you, or was it?
Absolutely, before me, during while he was still molesting me, he was molesting other kids. I mean, and it's not something that I have to wonder about. I saw it with my own eyes.
So it's like a sickness, they can't, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a sickness.
No, it's not a one-time thing. I mean, his preferred sexual objects were children, period. I mean, that's what, to him, kids running around in karate uniforms was like an episode of Baywatch.
And he was a karate instructor, and no one had any idea at the karate school that he was a little odd.
No, I mean, back in 1983, it really wasn't something that was. I mean, they would have never had a radio show like you're doing, which I applaud you for having an open discussion like this, because people just didn't talk about it.
Now, the Supreme Court ruling, people are very emotional about this. Your dad, of course, did what every father thinks he would do, which might not be the right thing to do, because it could have ended a different way. It could have ended with your dad being in jail for the rest of your life and you being raised without him.
And it could have ended with me blaming myself for the killing. I never did that, but I think if a child who's, say 10 years old and then they do tell and then eventually that perpetrator's put to death, they might have guilty feelings saying, hey, if I wouldn't have told, this person wouldn't be killed. Because most children who are molested by someone that they know, someone that they care about, and they don't want that person killed or put in jail. They just want the molestation to stop. Now, we know that they're not going to stop molesting kids, so they need to be put in jail.
Now, you heard someone talk about chemical castration. What do you think about that?
It wouldn't work. I agree 100% with the caller. It wouldn't work. It's a mental. It's the brain, and they have to, they have to be locked away. There shouldn't be a second chance for a child rape. Mm-hmm. That person should be in jail. And then usually, people who are put in jail for child rape are dealt with appropriately in prison, or maybe not appropriately, but they're dealt with in prison.
You wonder. With we're finding out, that people were on the death row, and then we find out from DNA years later that there's that they're not, the DNA doesn't match. You wonder with the death penalty being so final,
And especially in cases where they don't kill the child. I tell people, you know, as much as they'll listen, is that what you're going to end up with if this law would have been upheld is you ended up with more dead kids than dead pedophiles, because if they were faced with going to jail and getting a death penalty, they would just get rid of the witness.
That's very interesting, and people don't think about that. That, you know, once you molest someone, kill them, because they could put you to the chamber. Let's take some phone calls real quick. Junior, you're on 960 WERC. What's your question, Junior?
I have a friend that goes to church with me, and she was molested from the time she was in the second grade until, I don't know, her teenage years. And the guy who molested her was her stepfather, and she never turned him in or anything like that. And he quit molesting her whenever she became a teen and started going to church, and she still has never told on him. Until recently, she told her mom about it, and her mom gave her the option, you know, if you want, you can put this guy in jail or whatever. The option is yours, and, you know, what would you say in a situation like that? A guy who quit doing it and started going to church and was even your mom's spouse.
Mm. Jody, that's an interesting question for Jody. Jody, what would you say?
I would say he quit doing it to her because she got too old. That's why the guy who molested me moved from the kid who was like 2 years older than me moved to me, because once you reach a certain age, you get too old. See, the reason why they mess with children is because they don't like, you know, pubic hair and big boob. They like the little kid look, and that's what they're attracted to. Just because he's going to church and you found out with the priest scandal doesn't mean that he isn't molesting children. He just quit molesting her because she got too old.
Yeah, Junior, are we sure that he's not molesting other little girls?
Well, there's really no other little girls that he's around anymore. She was the youngest in the family.
Well, I appreciate your call, Junior. And it's just interesting because it doesn't seem like it can be just a one-time thing. It seems like that you're going to find somebody is, you know, got this kind of craving. Is there a statute of limitations on child rape?
I think states are different in how they do it. I would, you know, consult an attorney, but I think a lot of states recently have gone to, I want to say 35 years old if you were sexually abused as a child. Maybe it's like, or it could be something like, you know, 5 years after a child turns 16. Mm-hmm. I think it's different in each state, so check it. But I know when I was working in Pennsylvania at the crisis center that they had just changed the law to where it was like, you know, X number of years past 18 years old that you could still report and prosecute the crime.
Interesting question, though. That person really, you know, here, you know, that's what I love about doing talk radio. I never thought I'd get a call like that. Let's go to John real quick. John, what's your question?
This whole thing's emotional, but what's so surprising about the Supreme Court, they didn't base this case on whether he was guilty or not. Unusual what they based on exactly what y'all talking about. They argued the right of the victim instead of arguing the right of the defendant. I
just
heard this otherwise.
Right, John, but what do you think of, John, what do you think about Jody's point of view that if there was the death penalty involved, a lot of these pedophiles would just kill the kids?
Well, you know, we run from everything in this society. There's no positives, but there's one thing about it is you got him and he's not going to get any other kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're going to kill kids anyway. You know, so many going to kill them anyway. And it takes a little bit more to go do murder than it does to do what they're doing.
I hear what you're saying, John. Well, Jody, listen, I am so glad that you are doing okay, and you sound like a really together guy, and I'm so glad that you got to spend your life with your dad.
Oh, yeah. We still hang out today. Can I just say one more thing real quick?
Yes.
John mentioned how this was an emotional topic, and it is, and if anybody has had some feelings that have came up that they need to call somebody, you can call the RAIN hotline. It's 800-656-HOPE. That's 800-656-4673.
Give me that number again, 800-656-4673.
And that number will connect you to your closest rape crisis center hotline.
And that's what, if you've had those feelings, if something's happened in the past and you want to talk about it, that's the place to go. Right. Jody, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll continue. I'm Dominic Brascia. This is News Radio 960 WERC.